All right. Yay. Welcome, ladies, to our second springtime call. Our last call was not springtime themed, but today's is. And I am extra giddy about this one for a few reasons. As I mentioned in the email, I love springtime. It's vibrant. Everything's coming to life, waking up, stretching its limbs, becoming the thing that it wasn't just a month ago. So just the whole transformation that happens. I grew up in the North Pacific Northwest, so I really got the four seasons, and I really had the experience of growing up in the woods, watching this like barren earth that the winter kind of renders the landscape. I got to watch that slowly, too slowly for my liking when I was younger, but slowly transform through March, April, and May into this muddy, like kind of gnarly landscape that then was this like fertile soil for all these, this greenery to pop up and the buds and the blossoms and the birds start, you know, coming back out. So springtime to me, and I was born in March, so there's that. And I'm named after a baby deer. Literally, my mom looked out the window and she was like, oh, let's name her Fawn. There was a doe and two baby deers. So springtime is very dear to me. It's symbolic and literally a time of rejuvenation, of output, of creativity, of kind of reinvention too, in a way where we can kind of, you know, pop through the soil in new ways than perhaps we were in the fall when we went into the ground. I'm talking like I'm a flower, because there we go. So springtime is amazing, and I'll be bringing these themes, weaving these themes into these calls more frequently in the upcoming months, because there's been this universal nudge for LFP and the modules within LFP to become an analog, utilizing nature, Mother Nature, as an analog, utilizing the teacher and the wisdom that the natural world is in service to our transformational journey. So I just keep uncovering, I mean, lifestyle gardening is already in there. There's a lot of things in there that like point in this direction. I talk about nature a lot, but I've actually had so many insights and just feel really, really guided to weave this throughout, because it's such a useful and also such a beautiful and fun way to play with our own journey and our own transformation. And what I've found too, just a little more context around this, I a while back immersed myself into studying with one of the Lakota tribe elders, like wisdom keepers. And I did a week-long immersion up in the Santa Cruz Mountains. This was like 8 years ago or something like that. And I've always just been really, really curious about how it seems, right? Most tribes, most cultures around the world up until the past 100, 200 years have this relationship with nature that is super cohesive, super harmonious, and thriving for all intents and purposes, right? Like barring the wayward meteor or ice age, there's usually a very harmonious relationship happening there. Ecological relationship, this interdependence, this in biology, it's a homeostasis. It's where everything is like thriving to its full capacity while also supporting that which is around it. So I've been fascinated with this for a long time, grew up in nature, as you guys know, and it's just started to really, like, these things have been coming together for me as I'm also developing this crazy idea for my retreat center estate, which is a whole different conversation, just how important and how incredible nature is as a teacher. So I'm going to be talking about that a little bit more, obviously tonight, but then also in the LFP themes, materials, etc. So that said, tonight we're going to be exploring a really fun, I think it's fun because it's very, it can be very alchemizing, very transmuting, very transformational, is kind of twofold but parallel tracks. On the one hand, how can we look to nature for wisdom in our own journey and look to nature wherever we may be at in our lives, whatever we may be like in or experiencing or struggling with or et cetera. How can we learn to look to nature and listen and learn and hear and see the guidance from nature and then be able to implement that to our, you know, to our benefit or our thrive mode? And then also, and this is just figurative language, but it's all the same thing. How might our gremlins that you're all familiar with gremlins. How might your gremlins, these things, these like yucky, like live in the dark warts and hair and under the troll bridge gremlins that we like wrench out of the catacombs that are pretty nasty and gnarly, how might those actually be trying to help us? How might these things that we struggle so much with and that are like messing us up, like what if the way that we're designed is such that these things that mess with us so badly actually have hidden messages inside that if we know how to listen, just like if we know how to listen to nature, we're able to utilize that information and that wisdom to support our own growth and well-being and thriving. So we're going to be exploring how to transmute, alchemize, understand the messaging and the wisdom of gremlins so that they're no longer A, messing us up, holding us back, hurting us, B, so that we can align with thriving, so that we're no longer hindered by their energy. So that's the setup for tonight. And this may be familiar for a couple of you who are at the retreat, Maura and Lauren. It also might be familiar for a couple of you if we've done this work before, the gremlin alchemy stuff. But nonetheless, we're doing it from a different angle tonight. And I can almost guarantee you'll have different things come up than you did if we did do it before. So with no further ado, let's do an intro round. And I will invite you to share your name, your location, and how does your life or how might your life right now, where you're at in your life, maybe what's going on, parallel the season of spring in some way? So that could be like that edge of winter spring where shit's real messy and muddy and like uncomfortable and we don't know if we should take our snow tires off yet or leave them on. This might be the kind of, you know, mud turning to soil stuff is, you know, starting to happen, or this might be, you know, any other parallel or analogy. But yeah, how might your life right now have some aspects or some parallels to the season of spring? And we'll do a minute for check-ins, introduction round, and then we're going to continue or begin actually our exploration of springtime and nature and gardens. Cool. All right, who would like to volunteer to start intro rounds? I will volunteer Maura. Thank you.
I couldn't tell if you could see me or not. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
So good to see you all. My name is Maura McGinnis, not Maura McGinnis - Qtran. I don't know how to change it. I need my 13-year-old to like fix my settings. Such an old lady. But remember the time we did this call and I was the greatest man alive? Remember
yes.
That? So we'll go - Qtran. Maura McGinnis. I am in Milford, Connecticut. Coincidentally where Qtran is located. My parallel is easy peasy, man. I am budding right into my next phase of life because I am moving back to California. Yeah. So I lived in California for 21 years. For those of you who don't know me, I had all these things in my head and stories about that I should raise my child on the East Coast. So I moved back to Connecticut, which is where I grew up. And I got here and promptly found Fawn to fix my life. And now 3.5 years later, I am almost 4 years later, going back to Southern California. So That's happening for me in July. So I am really like ramping. I was in California 2 weeks ago. So I'm sort of getting all those plans, planting the seeds that are growing very fast. So that's an easy parallel to spring for me.
Woo-hoo! So exciting! Yay! Yeah, so we've got now Cali sisters, Maura, we've got Cindy, Katrina, and Lauren are all over there.
Oh, well, I knew Lauren. I did not know that, Cindy and Katrina. You'll tell me which parts when it's in the intro round. I'm very excited.
Hey.
I'm telling you, we're starting LFP West, Southwest, pretty soon.
Totally. Love it. Thanks for your intro, Qtran. I'm so, so happy for you and so proud of you. And to speak to one thing real quickly, the winter that you are emerging out of or have been emerging out of,
mm-hmm.
and the seeds that you courageously have been planting for the past 6-8 months are so inspiring and incredible. And I just want to celebrate the shit out of you for
Thank you. Well, I give a ton of credit to you and to what I've learned since knowing you and what I've learned from everybody that I've met, everyone, all of our collective experiences are just, it's amazing. I'm better for it, for everyone sitting here. So thank you for the props, but it's shared for sure.
Yep. And we're going to talk about this in a bit, but it takes a garden to grow a flower. Right. Awesome. Thanks, Maura. Who would like to go next?
I can go next.
Awesome.
My name is Cindy, and I live in Los Angeles. And my parallel for spring is I am going to start a new job starting next week. I've been temping for this company for about a month, and my manager asked me to come on board full time, which is huge for me because I've been on and off, like, employed, you know, during the whole pandemic year. So this is really great news, and it's just like kind of like a new beginning for me. And also at the same time, my last freelance position, she just asked me if I would be open to working weekends. And so, yeah, so there's just a lot of opportunities, that I'm really excited about.
Wow. That's amazing. You've got some abundance flowing your way.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. Yes. Congrats, Cindy. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where in Los Angeles are you? You're Los Feliz?
Yes, Los Feliz / Hollywood.
Stop it. I own property off of Vermont on Juanita. So just south of Los Feliz.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Like Vermont exit of the 101.
Yeah. I'm near
crazy
Western and Hollywood.
We're neighbors.
Yeah.
So cool. It's happening. Yay. Thank you, Cindy. Thanks for your intro. So happy to have you here. And congrats on the abundance that's flowing your way. That's wonderful. Yay. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and go to Mia. Hi, Mia.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mia. I'm in Georgia. So the parallel for me, the one particular one that's very strong right now is I've been trying to write a memoir for the past 5 years. I mean, I started 5 years ago, but I mean, traveling always got in the way. And so not in the way, but just, I guess, I didn't have a lot of time. So last year, with the pandemic, I had a lot of time. So I really honed in. And then this year, I mean, the spring actually was when I really just put a lot of time in, kind of like the way you would, you know, take care of a seedling. So now just, a couple of weeks ago, it's done, at least for now. You know, it's my sixth edit, so I'm like, I can't look at it anymore. So I'm just so excited to have this thing wrapped up and just in a holding space for me right now, you know, to be in this stage where I'm like, oh, it feels so good to give birth to this one important thing in my life. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I'm going to let it grow into what it's supposed to be. You know, I'm not going to, because all the gremlins are coming in like, well, oh, what are you going to do with it? Who's going to publish it? How are you going to find a book agent? Who wants to hear the story? Blah, blah, blah. But it's just like, no, it will, you know, it's a seed that is growing and it will grow into whatever potential it's supposed to have. So I'm going to ride that wave. So that's fine.
Yay. Congrats. That's huge and exciting. Can't wait to read it. Yay. Oh, that's so wonderful. And Mia's been an enormous help on team FMC LFP over here. She's been helping me design the new workbooks and the new workbook covers, and just an immense, like, she totally belongs here, ladies. We summoned in the right one. But her journey, it's so interesting. We've been, like, just for lack of a more colloquial term, like, we've been kind of tripping out, because her journey leaving corporate, traveling the world for 5 years is like the LFP experience. It's just, yeah, it's so amazing. And I'm so excited to read your memoir so that we can all be inspired by your journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Let's go to Jasmine.
Hey everyone, it's so good to see you.
Good to see you. I miss you.
I missed everyone. The parallels are abundant to spring in my life right now, in just many different facets. So a few things just come to mind. I feel like I have been the hibernating seed for a few months for just a number of reasons, but one through the surrogacy process. And I feel like what Maura said with the work that I've done over the last year, I can't believe how amazing the clarity comes when you spend time like letting the rain wash away what you think is really important. And even though, like, the other night there was a 5-minute storm that we felt like was going to take down the house, there were moments of that in my like tumultuous, like, early spring here recently in my workplace. But that was it. It was a passing storm. And it's really cool to be able to recognize that and have the ability that I absolutely never had to then just, like, wait for the sunshine and, you know, the sprouting from the ground, which is a completely new school district is what that looks like for me. And I guess new job in the sense, like, I'll be at a school that's all high school, which is a little bit different than where I'm at now. And just so much more opportunity and feels very spring-like in the sense of also what Mia was saying, like, in the, I'm going to let it, oh, it's the baby. It's okay. I think I've got lots of extra hormones flowing that way. So distracted. And I think what you said really hits it on the head, to, like, see where it will go, because my rejuvenation, I didn't think it was going to look like this. I didn't think, like, when I was unsettled in teaching, it was going to bring me to another position teaching. And I don't know if that will remain, but it is, like, one of those times where, like, the water floods a certain way and, like, you're following the path of least resistance and in, like, a good way, to, like, ride the wave, the good wave, and to see what it looks like when, I don't know, the new flower blooms, or whatever analogy you might have for it. So lots of spring parallels for me, and exciting. And I also feel better that I can sit here and not want to vomit every second of every day. So I'm integrating back into society, but it also feels very spring-like. So it's wonderful. Glad to be here.
Yay. Thanks for being here. So glad you're feeling better. How far are you into your pregnancy? Four months, five?
Almost, yeah. Just 15 weeks.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Exciting.
Wow. Does anybody know? Does anybody not know about what Jasmine's pregnancy is about? Raise your hand.
No, I haven't seen everyone. I'm carrying as a surrogate right now. So for my cousin and his wife, she has a condition that affects her aortic valve, and I surprised them. My husband and I should say, surprised them last summer after taking a little over a year to chew on it and play around with it. And it's been a really beautiful experience, and they've been through a lot, and science is incredible. And we're all just feeling really happy because it was triplets and then it wasn't. But there's a healthy baby and she's growing, and it's powerful. So yeah, it's been awesome. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. So amazing. It looks like Katrina's really moved by that, so I'm just gonna go right over to you, Katrina, and I'll go to Lauren.
Hi, I'm Katrina from Long Beach, California. I actually used to live in Los Feliz for a minute, like literally a minute, 1 month, like 12 years ago. 15 years ago. The springtime for me is just working with Fawn. And I have been working on the 90-day program, and I have I'm in the process of starting a new company and getting ready to actually start, actually getting ready to market it and see where it grows. But it's working and coaching parents who have children who have ADHD. So that's just my entire, I mean, I'm up to like here in ADHD in my life. So, in fact, he's the only one who doesn't have it that we know of so far. So, and then I've also simultaneously started doing tarot card reading and, some life coaching for people. And I was, again, the gremlins were coming in for so hard for so long, but, I'm actually starting to move forward with that as well. So very excited.
Yay. I love hearing you speak that out, Katrina. That's so beautiful. Oh, so exciting. And she has like a really prestigious position and a very high, like high importance job and two other children. And yeah, Katrina's some kind of superhero. Yeah. Yay. Congrats on continuing forward with your coaching business. I'm just so proud of you. So, so, so proud. And I'm going to go to Lomo, or Lauren Moreland, also known colloquially as Lomo. Lauren.
Hello. Oh my goodness. Long time no see, everyone. Oh my God. There's a lot of new faces I haven't like met before. So hello. I've been kind of MIA for a while. Just been very busy. Segueing into springtime, lots of, I don't know, when I think of springtime, I think of it's sunny, but there's some days that are rainy, and there's some beautiful days and some like, it could be better. And so that's kind of been my journey for this springtime, is a lot of like ups and downs. But the thing is, you know, the analogy of, you know, April showers brings May flowers and summer coming up. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking about how like all of, you know, all of the ups and downs to the springtime that I've been having, all positive ups and downs. It's just crazy school, and it's awesome, learning a lot. But it's nice because being able to, you know, think about, you know, it's getting close to summer and I'm going to be done with school, and it's just going to be just rainbows and sunshine, and I'm just ready to relax. So honestly, for me, this has definitely been a very, very, I guess you can say like pivotal growth for me as an individual. And I'm just learning a lot about myself, through the process, and I'm just excited to see where all the planting of the seeds go and where I end up. So I'm stoked.
Yay. Tell us a little bit more, Lauren, about, just in a quick soundbite, a little bit more about the pivotal growth you're experiencing and like, yeah, that?
Well, honestly, one of the last conversations I had with Fawn, I remember one of our coaching sessions was just like, you know, you either got to just do it or you just got to not. And, you know, I had that mindset of like, you know what? So for background, I was kind of confused if I wanted to do nursing or not. And I changed my mindset and I was like, I'm all in. And I got my first preliminary acceptance, yay, to a nursing program. And so it's just been such a crazy journey. Like Fawn has definitely, everyone in the LFP has kind of been on the journey of like me just feeling so confused. And I actually feel like I found my path. I'm like doing it. I'm here. I'm like really stoked about it. And it's just crazy to think about like, you know, that last session that we had, Fawn, about, you know, you just got to like put your all in, like just tell yourself now, like you're either going to do it 100% or you're not. And that literally clicked in me. And it's just crazy to think about that I'm here at this point. And so it really does matter about your mindset, you know, and how important it is to be able to like trust that. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Hell yeah, Lauren. Yes, thank you for sharing that. Oh my gosh, I'm so freaking excited for you and so proud of you for sticking it out. Like, who can relate with that experience that Lauren's talking about? The ambiguity zone, one of my coaches calls it the door of confusion, where we can't seem to make a damn decision to save our life. We're like, I'm doing the thing, but like, what about over there? What about all the other options I could be doing? Yeah, I don't know if you can see us, Lauren, but some of us are definitely relating with you. There you are. I was just going to say we can't see you, but wait, come back.
Hi. Sorry, I'm studying as well, so I'm just doing multiple things, but hi. This is what my face looks like.
You haven't changed a bit in a year, Lauren. You look exactly
the
same.
You look great, Mara. Your hair is just so...
Like
a voluptuous.
It's almost ready to be donated.
Really?
Yeah, 10 inches.
Goodness.
Goes away.
Wow. I'd buy it. Looks great.
You'd buy it?
I know. I'd accept it. I don't know.
sorry, children with alopecia. My hair's going to Lauren.
Lauren's starting a side hustle. Oh my goodness. So good. So good. Yay, ladies. I am loving how much in this group right now, there's this resilience that I'm hearing, this resilience of, man, it was kind of intense back there. I was kind of confused. It was pretty difficult, et cetera, et cetera, you know, like the gremlins or what have you. But like, it sounds like, and maybe obviously this is just because we're sharing through the lens of springtime parallels, but I am hearing a lot of perseverance and a lot of almost like a surrender to, okay, I'm going to do what I need to do to get where I need to be. And I'm going to trust that I'm going to get there. And I just want every single one of you to know how, I want to use some good languaging here, but I almost said how explosive my heart is right now. That's kind of intense. But how excited and how elated that that makes me feel, just knowing that all of you are in this stage of springtime. That's really, really freaking cool. Yay. So let's shift gears a bit here. And we're going to kind of shift energies, and then it might feel a little bit different to vibration, but I promise we're going to come back to a high vibe energy, and we're going to do a guided visualization in the not too distant future here in a few minutes too. So to check in and kind of drop in with, just allow for us to drop in with each other, I would like to invite everyone, if you feel comfortable or not comfortable, but if you'd be willing, to share what gremlins or challenges or limiting beliefs, or specifically the ones that tend to be kind of in our minds, like doubts, fears, insecurities, gremlins, if you'd be willing to share like anything that you've been noticing lately about your inner world, any gremlins that are in there. We'll just do like a popcorn round of gremlin share, just so we all know kind of what we're sitting with or what we're coming into this call with in terms of those kinds of stories and beliefs or limiting beliefs. And then we're going to wrap around and kind of touch on this toward the end of the call as well. So it looks like Lomo is willing to share. Thank you, Lauren.
Yes. Cool. Yes. Hi. Honestly, the gremlins in this, I was actually thinking about this today, how I've been just studying nonstop, like hours and hours a day. And this is only like one class, but it's just very hard. And so some of the gremlins that have been coming up is just like, am I smart enough? Am I competent enough? Like, how am I supposed to keep all of this material in my head? Like, what's the best way? And then there's just times that I get down on myself because I'm just like, I feel overwhelmed and I feel like I can't do it. But then it's like, I looked to this. One of my quotes is, what you think you become. And so it's like, all right, well, Lauren, Lomo, that's what I go by. So I just wanted to make sure that people know that. So if I say Lomo, that's me. So then I looked over to my left and I read that quote and I was just thinking about like, I'm telling myself that I'm not going to be able to absorb it and that it's hard and that it's difficult. And so I was like, okay, well, I have to change that. I was like, okay, I can do it. I can memorize these things and I can learn them and I can implement them. And I am smart enough. And it just made the whole process of studying like, still hard, but more positive and a lot more, I guess, willing to sit for hours and be okay with that. It was just a different shift. And I think that shift even made a big difference. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Wow. So you noticed the gremlins that were popping up and had that reminder on your wall, which is so badass. Way to go with the reminders. Noticed that and it helped you. It sounds like it kind of helped you like snap into the moment and kind of question like, whoa, wait a second here. Like I can believe this or I can tell myself this and which one's going to actually help me here, you know, which one's going to hinder me. And I just love that you were able to catch that and reframe it, rearrange it and accept that, yes, this is a challenge, but it has nothing like the stories you have about yourself are not just because it's challenging doesn't mean you can't do it. Right. The gremlins aren't mm-hmm. true or accurate. Yeah. Lomo, that is awesome. I am so proud of you.
Yay.
Beautiful. Okay, so let's go to, who else had a hand up? You can just like raise your hands or unmute yourself. Katrina, do you wanna go? You have to hop off in a few minutes.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna, I'm so disappointed in that actually. Yeah, I have a friend who was supposed to be here at 7 and she just said, I'm 5 minutes away. So, but yeah, so my gremlin has always been, people don't wanna hear what I have to say. Like if I start something or if I do something, no one's going to want to show up for it. I'm not as special as those people on Instagram or TED Talks or those. The other one that I have a lot is I'm going to lose everything I've already built. And I'm going to end up destitute and full of regret for giving up what I already have. So. Those are my two that I'm constantly kind of battling in my head.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So one of the, it sounds like one of the gremlins that pops in is like a, it's a judgment about you and like a value judgment about you. No one's going to want to listen to you, et cetera. And the other one is about like this catastrophic scenario in which like you're out on the streets. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for sharing those. And listen to the recording if you can, because there will be some things that I'll invite you to explore and practice to, to understand what those gremlins might be communicating to you.
I definitely will before Monday. I'm happy she's here. I'm so disappointed to miss it.
Can I point out one thing before you leave? I just want to comment that when you said that, your child was like, "That's bullshit, Mom," because that was baby speak for, "I don't know what you're talking about," because I heard that. Did everybody else hear it? Because that's what I heard when the baby was like,
"Thanks, buddy." Oh.
Just saying.
I don't like that energy.
Right? Did you feel it? Did everybody else feel it?
Oh, my little baby empath. How great.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. That's
awesome. Thank you.
Welcome.
Oh my gosh. Great noticing where, he's all, Mom. Oh, that's so good. Good. Yeah. Nice awareness there. Who else would be willing to share any gremlins that are up for them? Jazz, thank you.
I'm going to just actually piggyback off of what Katrina just shared, because I definitely resonated with the, I guess I want to say doubt, or the feeling around, people being receptive to the impact that I really feel and believe I can make, but how will they listen? Why will they listen? When will they listen? Where's that tiered structure that will bring me to the people that I've found to listen to and respect and just believe in and feel empowered by? And I know it's not true, but every time I look to those people, I can't seem to find the ladder of how that will transfer to my path. There's always some reason, some rung that I don't have and I'll never have, a degree, TED Talk, an experience, a connection, you name it, all the things that I know that just like the way I know my path doesn't look now how I thought it was going to look. Still just there's that disconnect and that disbelief in myself in the external implementation, which is very conflicting to how I feel in my heart, and how much I believe in myself. I'm not sure why it doesn't translate always to the action. And I think it is actually impedes the action, component for me. It's definitely, I find myself still just then retreating and I stay in the absorption mode and I stay in the listening mode and the, I'll just soak more in and, it will come to me and it will just be very clear and present itself like divine intervention, like a shower from the, lightning bolt from the sky. Even though I know that that's not also completely the case, although those things do play in. So that's one of the largest ones I have. And perhaps I wrote down a fear of failure as well, which is deeply rooted from very, very long ago. So, and it's interesting to be able to acknowledge some of these things, because I have that higher, viewpoint now at times. So there's a dichotomy between seeing it and recognizing it, being able to either compartmentalize or rationalize through it and then take action in the opposite direction. So those were my two, the big ones that came up.
Thank you so much for offering that up. Who can relate with some of what Jazz shared there? Doubting the how, right? How the F am I going to get from here to where I want to go? How can someone like me do that, something like that? How can someone like me be somebody who does something like that, right? That it's pun intended, nips it in the bud. Like, stall out before you even have an opportunity to bloom or to even reach for the sun. Yeah, not to say that's dramatic, but yeah. Thank you so much for offering that up. And then that experience that I think we all have, where it's like, you know, our higher self, our woke self, our LFP self, our wisdom, our non-judgmental connection with our potential is like, you know, knowing that's all bullshit, like knowing so much better, right? And then, but then the gremlins, and there just seems to be this stalemate between the two of them where like, I know better than this, but like, damn, does it look real? Damn, does this feel real? Yeah, thank you. Yep, so relating with that. Oh my God. Yep, the how, woo. All right, who else? Anyone else be willing to share gremlins? Mia or Cindy? Thank you.
Yeah, so the exactly what Jasmine just shared and what I said earlier too, this gremlin of how are you going to do it? You know, you have poured your heart and soul into this thing and there's nothing really more you can do about it. And it's time to just release it and trust that it will be born into the right hands. I mean, but I'm like, but the gremlins are like, oh, you don't know anybody in the publishing world. You don't know, you've never published anything like that before. You know, like how there's just, it just seems like there's a vast vacuum between where I am now and where, you know, I can see this going. But at the same time, like my higher self has always known, even when the idea came to me, you know, 5 years ago that I needed to write this book, the voice always said, just do your part, do this work, and leave it to the universe to manifest. So now I'm like, okay, universe, I've done my work. You know, I'm waiting for you to manifest. It's your job now. But, you know, that's, yeah. So during the good moments, that's how it feels. Like there's nothing I need to worry about. It's not my job. I've done my part. But then the gremlins are like, well, no, it is your job. You know, like you don't know anything. You don't know anybody. How are you? So, yeah, it's just this constant battle, you know, of believing and doubting.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you so much for that share. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Who can relate with some of that? It's just like tug of war that's going on. Yeah. Yeah. And this common theme I'm hearing here, one common thread that I'm hearing is the how, this like how, not knowing how seems to be in our minds this impasse, this edifice of, nope, sorry, you don't know how, nope, you, nothing's going to happen here. You are destined to fail. Nothing's going to go the way you want it to because you don't know how to do it. Right? And I know I'm being whimsical about it and it feels a lot more intense than that in the moment, but something around the believability factor, like we have this sense that like we need to know how, and we need to believe we can do it, and we need to believe that we can, all this stuff that we need to do in order to actually make it real. And because all of that is so freaking overwhelming, it sometimes can just shut us down or keep us in analysis paralysis or just keep us stressing out, you know, to no end. So thank you for offering that up. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else before we, Cindy or Maura? Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, I have sort of a weird new gremlin. I know, odd, right? But I sort of recognized it, saw it, and moved past it. So that was really interesting. So it's tied, so I wrote down just the word jealousy, which for me is, not to sound so fucking woke, but pretty unusual. I'm good. I got it. Like, I know who I am. I'm pretty confident. I mean, I have all the normal gremlins of I'm a terrible mother, I'm not thin enough, blah, 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 all that crap. But that's just the normal. But I don't usually sort of have jealousy. And so I have a great, great job that I love, love, love. And we were working to find my replacement, a new team member. And I'm very fortunate to move to California and stay with my company and have my same job on the West Coast. It's not my same job, but very similar. And I was pretty adamant that it should be a woman. because, you know, I was. And luckily it is. There are not a lot of female sales, regional sales managers in lighting manufacturing on the East Coast. There's more on the West Coast. So we hired a woman. It's got a lot of sort of stuff that goes with that. But and she's fan-fucking-tastic. But when she started, I was out of town. And I had also advised against hiring her. My boss disregarded my advice, hired her anyway. So I was, that was, it's, and I said to him, you're the boss. Like, I'm over that. And I then was like, am I over it? And then I started trying to figure out what was really getting to me. And she's younger than I am, not prettier, just saying. But no, such an asshole. But it was sort of all of this, like, is she younger than me? Is she prettier than me? Is my boss going to like her better than me? Why am I leaving this job where I'm totally top notch? Again, all my cockiness laid out on the table for you ladies is I'm very happy at my job. People like me at my job. I except for one person, but anyway, but nobody likes her. She's terrible. Different person, different woman. And I'm not jealous of her. Anyway, so it was just this weird, like I was having all these feelings, and I don't know if I talked about it in Marco Polo or I journaled about it, but I was all of a sudden was like, am I jealous of her? Like, it was this really weird, like, is that what this is? Am I jealous of a woman who is younger than me, who's like sort of new and shiny, and she's going to take my place, even though she's not, I'm staying with the company. So it's just this weird, and I've not had that gremlin since high school. I mean, I don't think I've really been jealous of other women. I've always been very fortunate to be like, I am who I am. I'm confident who I am. I, you know, this is who God made, and I love her, and, you know, don't always. But you know what I mean. I'm lucky. And so it was this really weird thing to uncover. And I think it was not so much a gremlin of jealousy, not to jump ahead in the lesson, Fawn. But I think what the gremlin was telling me was you're leaving something that's comfortable. Even though I hate Connecticut, I hate it. But my job, I'm very successful. It's 3 miles from my house. There aren't homeless people on the street. You know, I live in this safe little town in Connecticut where I don't so much like the people, but it's very idyllic. And I moved here on some level for that. I don't love it. But anyway, so it was this new weird gremlin that I sort of unpacked, got past, and I don't know if I'm past it or not, but it was a weird thing, but again, on best with the tools, LSP, I saw it, I recognized it, I named it, and I was like, what are you telling me here? What is this about? So I know, I passed, ladies, I graduated. Yay! But I really did recognize it very quickly. Like, wow. And, yeah, it was weird. I still am weird about it. Like, I'm not sure because it was a weird new feeling, but I think it's telling me something different. I'm not jealous of Jamie. I'm not jealous of her. I'm fine. I'm good. But anyway, so there you go. Wow.
Thank you. Hell yes.
Hell yes.
Hell yes. Thank you. And hell yes.
Thanks.
That's amazing and such a great segue. So thanks for offering that up. And we'll continue to explore that in a moment here. This will be a great exercise to give you an opportunity to see what else might be happening there. Cindy, I don't know that you got an opportunity to, if you're welcome to, if you would like to share.
Yeah, so I also experienced something like that, like not quite jealousy, but I do compare myself to other women or like to other friends who might have like a job that I want, or they've moved in a house, or, you know, they have, they've recently been engaged or in a happy relationship. And I often like look at them and I desire that. So not quite jealousy, like I envy them, but I do want, you know, that. So that is, you know, a gremlin that I've had. And also, like, I wish I was more confident in my speaking, like, on, like, Zoom meetings or whatever. So I often, like, have my video off. And, you know, I just wish that I was just more confident. And even though I have the experience and I know, like, I'm, you know, overqualified for my position, I still have, like, doubt, and, you know, I still question myself, and I still, like, need that external validation.
Thanks so, so, so much for sharing that. Yeah. So relatable. The specifically for women, I know for men, but for women in, like, this society, the comparisonitis gremlin is a wicked thorn. Like, oh my gosh, right? Like, especially in 20s, 30s, 40s, kind of 30s being the median range there, where there's all this cultural narrative about what we're supposed to be doing and what that's supposed to look like and what it means if it is or isn't happening. And I mean, that extends to, like, in all, you know, all ages and ways, but I appreciate you speaking to that and being, you know, just, like, bringing that into the space here, because it's something that we tend to also keep really secret, where it's like, I don't really want to admit to anybody that I'm, like, over here feeling really insecure in comparison to the people I'm seeing in the external world. And by sharing that, there's just so much power in that. So thank you, Cindy. Who can relate with that? Like, having that comparisonitis of some kind of creeping up and looking outside of you to, you know, what you should or shouldn't be doing. Yeah. So thank you for that. And then also the, like, confidence, and maybe the flip side of that, and let me know, Cindy, I don't want to make an assumption here, but maybe the gremlin is, like, the insecurity, like, whatever the stories are that are feeding insecurity versus security. Does that sound pretty accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. Okay. Thank you, ladies, for bringing your gremlins out into the light of day. They hate this, by the way, just like they do in the movies. So now that we are aware of them and we've shared them, we've done two things. We've identified what wants to stay embedded in and, like, clinging to our own inner secret shame world. We've identified it, we've named it, and we've, like Maureen was saying, and we've shared it. And I talk about this fairly frequently about Kristen Neff's work on self-compassion and her research in the self-compassion realm and the antidotes to what gets in the way of, or I guess what facilitates self-compassion. And Brené Brown also talks about this. One of the best things we can do, you guys, is air our gremlins in a safe space. Just talk about them, just like we're talking about here, because it helps us know that even though we know this, sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Our shared humanity, our common humanity, you know, like, oh, I actually go through that too. Or, like, she's telling my story right now, or a piece of this person's share is so relatable. And that helps us, even if we're not necessarily conscious of it, it helps us to know, love you, Lomo. Happy studying.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Bye. So shared humanity, what's happening when we share like this in a supportive, non-judgmental space is that we are subconsciously, there's a messaging happening that, oh yeah, I'm human. Oh yeah, I'm human, right? These other people are going through this too. I'm human. I'm not some freak show isolated entity who struggles with this thing and I'm a weirdo and something's wrong with me. Oh yeah, I'm human. Now, it can take a while for that to kind of set in and for us to, like, remember, like, oh yeah, I'm human. Like, humans do really weird stuff. Like, it's nothing, it's not personal. It's nothing, I'm not an idiot. Humans are just weird. I'm a weird creature. I was like, there's some quirks going on here, right? So the sharing part of it is wonderful for that reason and others. And this is actually a really great segue into the theme that I'm going to be, you know, kind of weaving and putting on into the conversation here for you to explore is this, and this may be the first time you've ever even thought about this or really explored it, which is that you are nature. You are a human being. You are nature. Not that you are designed by nature or that you're a child of nature. Like, we are these organic, biological, carbon-based life forms that, just like everything else on this planet, is nature. And every organism has its unique set of functioning, right? Its own unique, and I talk about this all the time because it's awesome, its own unique predisposition to thrive. Within the genetic information, this little crazy, when you think about it, thing that happens when a seed is planted in the soil or when a sperm meets an egg, this incredible somethingness from nothingness, right? We are nature, and we are literally designed to thrive. We're designed to thrive to the best of our ability, right? And I pin that as an important caveat, because sometimes people are like, well, I'm designed to thrive. Like, why don't I grow back an extra arm when it gets chopped off? And it's like, okay, here's the thing. Like, to the best of our biological natural ability, right? We are designed to thrive. So if I get stung by a murder hornet, right? I'll probably die. I don't know. Probably my thrive mode and the murder hornet's thrive mode they're both orienting toward thriving, right? So I just want to specify this, because sometimes there is this, understandably, like this question around like, well, if I'm designed to thrive, then why am I not, impervious to things happening that could damage my health or take my life, whatever. So we're designed to thrive. If we look to the world around us, we look to the natural world around us, and I think this is one of the reasons that nature, when we sit in nature for like 2 seconds, even if we like look at a bouquet of flowers, if we're not really even present, like there's something there that is, we see perfection. We can see the perfection in the design of the nature around us, right? Of the ecosystem of the flower, of the plant, of the grass, of the tree. Even if the organism has, like, maybe the tree has like kind of a funky limb, or maybe the flower has, you know, some interesting stuff going on with its petals, it's still perfect, right? It's only when we take this, like, when we have a thought of judgment that things are imperfect or perceivably imperfect. So I'm laying this groundwork right now because it really is the undercurrent and foundation of LFP, and it's also the undercurrent of what will set us free every single time from anything that is causing suffering. So predisposition to thrive, biological organism. So why do we struggle so much? Like, what the heck, right? What's up with these gremlins that we all just shared? Well, I guess I didn't share mine, but I air my laundry enough with all of you that you probably know. So what's up with the gremlins? Okay, well, it seems that if everything is designed to thrive, if we as an organism are designed to thrive, like the rest of nature, because we're nature, what gets in the way of that? Our thoughts, and not just our thoughts, because our thoughts don't necessarily inherently get in the way. It's our relationship with our thoughts. It's the meaning we make about our thoughts. It's our perception of the thoughts we're having. So, random example, if I look at the scale and the scale says 700, well, it's really exaggerated example. If I look at the scale and it says a number, that's a neutral, and I observe that, that is a neutral thought that is just entering my mind, right? Neutral thought, I weigh this much. Now, the interpretation of that is going to be vastly different depending on my story about that weight, that story about myself and that weight, my story about what I look like when I weigh that much. It's going, right? Like, I might be like, yes, or I might be like, oh my God, I'm never going to eat again. Or I might be like, I'm such a failure. Like, fuck me. So there's all of these meaning makings and perceptions immediately when I see that, have that thought of like, I weigh this much. So it would seem that everything up to the point at which we have we make meaning out of something, up until that point, we're good. Like, there's really no problems or like issues, right? We're living. So what we want to look at, and we're going to do a shorter guided visualization. It'd be really funny if I was like, okay, now breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Not faster guided visualization. It's going to be shorter. To help us see how we can look to nature and connect with nature to then help us understand the what happens in the meaning making. What is that trying to tell us? Why is it happening? Why is this meaning making flaring up? Sometimes it's wonderful, right? Like sometimes it's like, it's really serving us, the meaning making. Sometimes not so much at all. Lauren modeled that really well earlier when she was like, you know, here's what I was thinking about myself in context of studying. And then, oh my gosh, was that a shitty feeling? Now she's different meaning making, right? So the important thing to note here is that the meaning making is meaning making. It's an interpretation. It's not inherently right. It's not inherently wrong. It's not inherently good, not inherently bad. It is the, as I talk about in module 3, it is the, it's almost like the filter by then which, like, it's going to impact our experience of life, right, on the other side of that. So we do have this being part. If our meaning making is in gremlin town and we're believing those gremlins, that's the key, right? Because I can be thinking, oh my God, I'm overweight. Oh my God, I'm a heavy cow or whatever. Those thoughts could be coming in. But if I'm just like, yeah, whatever, like moving on, no problem. It's not going to affect my behavior. But if I'm believing those thoughts, if I'm like, oh God, I am a heavy cow, like what? I'm going to then behave in alignment with the meaning making, right? So be, do, and then have, I'm going to have a different experience of life, a different experience of my quality of life, a different experience of my quality of well-being overall. Not to mention the results I get in the world. Like I might succumb to like plopping down on the couch and eating 17 cookies versus like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm going to work out, whatever. So are you tracking with me? Any like serious questions right now that are inhibiting the tracking with me? Totally cool if it is. Okay, cool. So a lot of personal development, coaching, psychology has been pretty focused on like, let's get those gremlins, right? Like, let's go kick their asses. Let's go hypnotize them away or whatever, affirmation them away. We've all like done, I've given you ladies a gajillion tools that are really helpful, right? For like alchemizing the gremlins. Lauren, again, she demonstrated that really well. So did you, Maura, in like your processing around it. So the tools are helpful for like what to do about the gremlins. And what isn't often really talked about, and we did some of this at the retreat, what isn't often talked about is that those interpretations, if we can take a pause and get curious, there's usually some information in there. There's usually, like, we get to be the bouncer at the door of the club, right? We get to be like, yeah, how about you? Where'd you come from? Why are you telling me I'm a fat cow? Why should I believe you? So we get to, when we know that there could be information in there, we get to take a pause and we get to check in with, okay, is this helpful information? Is this valid information? Is this, what information might this hold for me? What might it be trying to tell me? And it works fucking wonders with those gremlins. It works wonders once we're like, hey, buddy, let's sit down for some tea and talk this out. Like, let's just see what your baggage you're bringing to the table. Let's unpack. Let's see what you got. So utilizing this in the context of nature is perfectly balanced until things mess it up, aka humans. But nature doesn't make mistakes, really. Like, nature has this ability to, I mean, it's always its own scientific experiment, and at the same time, it's always, like, somehow perfectly cohesive. Again, barring, like, there's, like, weather patterns, obviously, like, evolution happens as a result of these, like, X factors that come into environments. But so nature, when it listens to itself, its signals, its senses, then it knows what and how to calibrate, right? What and how to calibrate so that it optimizes itself for thriving. So a flower in the jungle, stuff in the jungle grows fast, by the way. For those of you who haven't been in the jungle or haven't lived in the jungle, I'll tell you right now, I'm like, where did that plant just come from? And Ron Hell's like, yeah, last week it was over there. Things in the jungle grow really fast. So let's say there's a flower in the jungle and a vine or a weed, you know, is growing upward and blocks the sun from the flower. Well, the flower's senses, right? The photosynthetic nature of the plant or the flower is going to realize, like, oh, okay, I need to, like, lean over here and kind of reach around a bit and find some sun and go a different route, right? So information, right? The flower isn't sitting there like, oh, that thing shadowed me because I'm an idiot and, like, I deserve to be shadowed by the vine, and what was I thinking even being a flower in the first place? Like, what's my deal? So information adjustment, right? Information thrive mode. Information thrive mode. How can this information help me thrive? So let's drop into our own experience of this and see where we go with it. So we've got 15 minutes technically on the clock, and I'm going to use 10 of them for this guided experience. And then anyone who can stay and share, super appreciated. Anyone that needs to hop off, totally cool as well. And you can utilize this anytime, you know, anywhere. And I'm going to be recording a longer meditation or a longer recording for the LFP materials so that you guys have it if you want to use it later. So we're going to go on a bit of a garden tour for the next 10 minutes. And we're going to use our imagination and our intuition and our ability to visualize. That's one thing that makes us pretty cool creatures, is that we have our mind's eye. So go ahead and get comfortable, close your eyes, take a few just natural breaths, feeling yourself land into your body. Feeling the expansion and the contraction of your lungs as you naturally breathe. Maybe noticing any sensations in your body, tension, looseness, temperature. I invite you to take 3 natural breaths, and with each breath, release any tension that you feel that you're holding. Feel it melt off of you. Feel yourself lighter, more calm. Noticing the sensations of your feet. Position of your legs. How it feels to be seated with your weight on the ground, rooted to the connection of gravity. Yet light, feeling relaxation throughout your torso, your shoulders, feeling a calm peace in your face, feeling the lightness of your hair. Feeling what it feels like to be a human being. Feeling what it feels like to be a human body. Now we're going to visualize. We're going to leave this time and space in our consciousness. And we're going to travel to gardens. We're going to visit a few gardens. And then we're going to spend some time in the garden. So imagine yourself zooming around the earth, flying almost like with the lightness of a bird. And below you see France. You see the Parisian landscape. You see the French countryside. And below you, you see a beautiful, vibrant flower garden. Let's just lightly descend down into this gorgeous, vibrant springtime flower garden in the French countryside. You are welcome in your imagination to float through the garden. You're welcome to walk through the garden. You're welcome to lay in the garden, noticing the flowers, smelling the incredible aromas. Hearing the stillness, feeling the stillness, and yet feeling the vibrancy of all of the living beings in that garden, the bees, the butterflies, hummingbirds. Noticing the color. Noticing how everything seems to be perfectly orchestrated. As though the garden is playing its own song. We'll spend a moment here and we'll visit another garden. So in this moment, really soak this French botanical garden in. And then we're going to lift off lightly up back into our light floating self. We're going to travel to a garden in Fiji. And we can feel as we float over, we can feel the humidity evaporating from the rainforest and the jungle. We can feel the ocean breeze and how uniquely different it is from the garden we were just at and the place we just were. As we're floating over Fiji, we notice a gorgeous jungle garden. We slowly descend into this patch of thriving, flourishing jungle plants and flowers. You can hear the cacophony of the jungle sounds, the birds, the bugs, all of it, all of the life, teeming with life around you. Noticing the exotic plants and animals surrounding you, around you. Noticing the tropical flowers and how absolutely impossible they look. And for the sake of our time, we're going to spend a few moments here in this garden. You're welcome on your own time to continue your adventures in the garden tour of other gardens in this world and maybe others. But for now, let's descend into this garden and be in it, be with it. So gently, again, you're welcome to float, welcome to sit. We're going to find a place in this garden, this jungle, this natural menagerie. And find a place where in your vision, you can see, you can look around you and see so much life. Maybe like Avatar, incredible, impossible flowers. Creatures. And notice a plant or a flower, notice a flower that really seems to stand out. It's caught your attention. And just be with that flower, just in the moment with all of the vibrant buzzing and energy around you. noticing the flower. How radiant, how alive, how vibrant, how unique, how perfectly designed it is for where it is and what it is. And in this appreciation of this flower, this noticing, I want you to imagine yourself then becoming the twin of that flower, the same kind of flower. Imagine yourself as this vibrant, thriving jungle flower. Feel what it might feel like to be automatically a part of this natural, thriving ecosystem. Feel what it might feel like to know and trust that thriving is your only objective. Thriving is your life's purpose. Really give yourself permission to know that absolutely and completely. I am here to thrive. And with that energy, with that trust, and that undoubtable confidence in purpose, you notice that one of those gremlins from earlier, one of those meaning makings, starts to enter your space in this jungle garden. It might take the form of a cloud or a shadow, or it might take the form of a weed. It might take the form of a pesticide that some farmer has brought into the garden. It might take the form of some signal of something in the garden that doesn't belong, something that's not natural to the garden. See what might come up for you when you check in with, okay, if I'm this flower in this thriving garden, what form might this particular gremlin be taking? And then we're going to take a look at and get curious about what message, what is it doing here? How can I understand it? And what do I need to do to thrive, to continue to orient to thriving? So there might be four or more ways that this is communicating a message to you. One being the pesticide. So that would be something artificial. Something telling you that you need to be growing differently, whether that's you need to be growing faster, bigger, or that you need to not grow at all. Some kind of external artificial messaging or should, a critical judgment that you're not enough or that you're too much, some kind of pesticide. Or it might be a weed that has come from the outside. somebody and carries a rule system from an outside garden, from a different garden altogether, trying to choke you out, trying to tell you that it needs to you need to conform to it. It's trying to take you, overcome you, overtake you. Or this message might come in the form of a signal from nature. It might be a cloud. It might be a vine that's grown over your path to the sun. It might be the falling of a leaf or the change of something else in the environment signaling that change is afoot, a season change perhaps, or a microclimate change, something natural, something that's trying to give you information about what you need to do next to thrive. Or for the fourth, maybe it is another gardener encroaching, trying to impose, trying to form this landscape that you are in, including yourself, to something that is unnatural to you. Or it could be something else altogether. Those are four. There could be certainly more. In any case, get curious about what information is there for you. What information is there in understanding what form this is taking? Maybe it's a message around calling upon your natural ability to thrive, to overcome the pesticide. Maybe there's a message in there about moving in a direction, or maybe folding in your leaves for the evening for safety. Maybe there's a storm coming. In any case, feel into what feels like information that is in support of you thriving. What is true for your perfect ability to thrive? Exploring that message. And then as we come to an understanding about that message, in your visualization, go ahead and do what you want and need to do to heed that message and to move and align into thrive mode based on that message, knowing that you are perfectly designed to thrive. Give yourself permission to understand the information simply as that, as information for your thriving, that everything is here to help you thrive if we can just listen closely enough. And as you feel yourself blooming toward the sun once again, in this thriving energy, we're going to come back to present moment. For the sake of time, we're going to embody that flower energy, thank it for holding space for the exploration, and then shift into our human body gently, fluidly. Feeling what it feels like to be in our human body again. Taking a few breaths. Feeling grateful for knowing that you are nature, just as the flower is nature. When you're ready, when you're feeling comfortable and landed and centered, you're welcome to take a few breaths, open your eyes, join us back in this space. All right, ladies. Raise your hand if you'd like to share. We'll do like a 1 minute share round and we'll keep it going for as long as it feels alive. What came up for you? What was that like? Messages or insights? New understandings, new questions. Yeah, thank you.
So one thing that came to me, again, going back to, you know, what I was saying earlier about the project that I'm working on, I think the not knowing how to get there, there's also maybe a fear of, well, if it did become what I truly wanted, you know, if it did go out into the world, because this, it's so much, it's so personal and so private and so intimate, you know, it's just a lot of everything is in there. I mean, I started writing about something that happened 5 years ago, but it actually became an examination of my entire life, like my family, the way I was brought up, my background growing up, you know, just everything. So from, it was like, so it's a really, yeah, this reflective piece. And it feels really scary to share that, you know, like, I mean, now I have a few friends read it and they're saying, oh my God, didn't even know, like, I feel like I'm learning more about you through this book, you know, than our friendship. Which is incredible, but it's also incredibly scary because, like, yeah, because then everything is out there, you know? And so maybe there's a fear in that, like, so you're really exposed and people, strangers, I don't know which is worse for strangers to know or people you already know, like your loved ones, like my parents, for example, you know, like, I don't want them to read it because they don't know, like, 90% of it. I mean, yeah. So maybe there's that fear of making it, you know, the flower actually blooming into its potential. There's fear in that.
Wow. And what, on the other side of that fear, what might there be that's trying to help you thrive?
To keep going despite of the fear, you know, because I know in my heart that flower is so beautiful. Like, I want everyone to see it because it's just, and I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my own horn because I don't feel like I don't even feel like I wrote it, you know, like I feel like it moved, the words came through me. Like a lot of times when editing, it's during meditation where words will come and it's like, oh, edit this piece, that piece. So actually, I don't even want to take credit for the writing because I know my ego could not have written that book, you know? I want it to come out as an offering, like, you know, just, yeah. So despite that fear, I want, because for me now, it's not even my story, you know, it's about, it's a story that I think so many people can relate to and, you know, yeah, just grow from, you know, I was just an avatar that lived it. Yeah.
Oof. Beautiful. So not to try to wrap words around that, but it sounds like maybe there's an invitation to supersede the human experience, the human egoic experience, in service of the higher, like in service of something higher, bigger, more pure.
Yeah.
But there's something that's wanting to keep you safe, like the human egoic protection mechanism is wanting to keep you safe, understandably. Right. But that doesn't mean you have to listen to it.
But even then, the gremlin is like, who are you to think that it's this big story, you know, like, who are you to think that it's so good? Like, so it's like, ah, bring it down.
Right. Yeah. I mean, imagine you guys, like, again, going back into this garden, if there was like some, oh gosh, I don't want to badmouth any creatures, but like, if there's a creature from a completely different garden in a different part of the world, like barging into our garden out of nowhere and like, you shouldn't be growing. You know, like, what? But we take on other people's judgments and stories, and like, the gremlins are just regurgitations of what we've heard before, right? From somewhere in the world. We weren't born with these things. So just, yeah, important to remember that. Okay, I hear you, I see you. Thank you for trying to keep me safe, or thank you for blah, 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 right? Like, the message that might be there. And I'm going to keep reaching for the sun. Thanks for sharing that. That was so powerful. It really is the hero's journey. It's the journey that we all get to take in service to our highest self. And it's these moments around like, who am I? How dare I? What will people think? What will people think though, really? You know, like, where it's that threshold between thrive mode service and comfortable, or, and no, there's no value judgment here, there's no good or bad, but that's just what is happening. Our human self and our spiritual self are like anyone else feel called or comfortable to share, or uncomfortable and still want to share anything that came up for you? What's that like? Was it weird? Are you like, what the heck was that fun with all this garden stuff about?
I'll share.
Thanks, Jazz.
Nothing comes up when I feel that way through visualizations, like in meditations. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about this before, but it's like I can hear you, but I ground in a certain way, like in my body. Like, you did a really wonderful job for at least the way that I, like, experience, like, a visualization or something like that, in that I don't, like, nothing comes up. Like, I can't, like, I don't think. I don't even visualize. So I don't know if, I've questioned it before if I'm tired. Like, oh, maybe I'm just tired, so I get sleepy, or like, but I'm not sleeping. Mm. I can hear you. Mm. But I'm not, like, I'm not thinking, and nothing's coming up. Mm. So the only thing I feel is calm. And like, there was one, like, I don't see anything. I don't see colors. I didn't see a garden. I don't feel floating. None of like the visual happens for me, but I feel calm. That's the only word that comes to mind. Like, I literally just, it's almost like some part of my nervous system or all of it shuts down. So nothing happens, but my body feels like, it's almost like I'm uncomfortable because like I'm pregnant right now. So like I could feel myself being uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but then I didn't move. And then
Like, I did move, but I didn't, like, change. The experience didn't change from moving. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I heard Joel downstairs, but it didn't, like, pull me out of it, and no thoughts came up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that means, but this has happened multiple times. So I don't really know. It's not, like, an experience for me. Like, maybe it will come after. It's, like, thoughts or something comes, or maybe I have, like, this, I don't know, breakthrough. I don't ever experience that. I just feel very connected mm-hmm. and calm, and it's really nice. But I don't know if that happens for everyone. As I think about it after the fact, I'm like, oh, I wanted to see, like, color and flowers, and, like, there was, like, one moment I envisioned, like, being the, well, I was going to sound fucking crazy, but, like, just
yay.
The energy of, like, the, like, I'm inside the flower. I can't see colors. I can't see the petals. I can't see a bloom. I can't see the green. I can't see anything. I'm just, like, the atoms that make up the inside. I don't know. That was as close as I got to any thought. I don't know. So
beautiful.
That's it. But it
beautiful.
Was
thank a really
nice job. I went.
Thank you for your.
I
for sharing your honest. Oh, sorry.
That was it. Yeah.
My internet's glitching a little. You went very. Say that again.
No, I said you just did a really wonderful job. I went very deeply into that, like, calm, quiet, like, clear place.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And I want to share that. That's perfect. Whatever you experienced is perfect. And that's part of trusting the, like, our nature is that I'm over here guiding a visualization, but the real point of this, right, real point is to access that space that you accessed, is to access that, like, health, well-being, thriving, peace. So perfect, right? And if somebody was, like, in a boat on the ocean in a storm, perfect. Like, I truly believe. So what happens, maybe I'll do a call next call on this, is you dropped our brain frequency, our energy change, like, literally measurably changes in depending on what state we're in, whether it's waking state, sleeping state, and then there's, like, theta, alpha, and theta is one of the states. It's actually awesome because that's where a lot of, like, transformational stuff can occur, but there's, like, not a lot of stuff in it. It's just, like, it's kind of where hypnosis can bring us to, or hypnagogic or hypnopompic sleep, which is as we're falling asleep or waking up from sleep, that, like, weird dreamy time, but we're not dreamy time. So that's beautiful, right? Absolutely beautiful. And very common. So, yeah. Thanks, Jazz.
It looks like something more should happen, but I don't know. Should I, like, journal after? I don't know. I don't know. That's just my Jazz part of me wanting to, like, have a result.
Mm-hmm. You know? Feel into your yes and your no. Like, I'm just going to pick up my pen and my journal and see if anything happens, right? Cool. If not, cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It was perfect before bed.
Cindy...
I was going to comment on Jazz's experience because I read Elizabeth Gilbert's Eat, Pray, Love, right? And for a third of the book, she talks about not being able, like, why the fuck can't I do this? Why can't I do this? I'm meditating. I'm visualizing. I can't. Why can I not do this? Why is everybody else around me doing this? Why do they see the flower? I don't see the flower. Like, that's my takeaway from her book, is that she goes on this, like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And she just talks literally for, like, a third of the pray, you know, about how she finally comes to her place, right? She tells her story. about how she is able to meditate and visualize and do, you know, and float and all the things. So that's, it's so funny that you said, I didn't feel anything, I didn't see a flower. Because I had all the Liz Gilberts in my head, thought like, wait, Fawn sees a flower. I bet you Cindy sees a flower. Somebody's a flower. Me is a flower. Jazz isn't a flower. Jazz is right here with me not being a flower. No, I'm just kidding. I'm only saying that because what you just said. But it's that, and so interestingly though, I saw no flowers. I was no garden. But I felt that shared experience. All back to having read that book, and I haven't read that book in years and years and years, but I read it about a dozen times when I was pregnant, when I didn't know Eat, Pray, Love. When I didn't know what I was going to do with this pregnancy and with Michael, who was not Michael then, and her story, that whole story, that whole book is a way different, you know, experience than being pregnant, not knowing what you're doing, but there was something about it that spoke to me, and it comes back to me sometimes. And it was that, and that's what I was just thinking when you were saying that. I was like, oh, gotta comment, because it's what I was thinking was, I'm not a flower here, but I have a shared humanity in the fact that I cannot visualize this damn flower. You know what I mean? Like, so I had a shared humanity thought process through it, remembering her whole experience that she really wrote about. This effort to go fix her life, you know, go all the way to India and then really chastising herself for it not working. Like, why was she not, why couldn't she do it? You know? So that was what I, that was my takeaway. Not that the imagery, and I got some of the imagery, but I was, you know, I was up there, but so I'm glad you said that, Jazz.
Thank you, Maura. Yeah, right. So again, shared humanity. It's so interesting how we all experience our inner world, you know, the way that we do, the ways that we do. And I appreciate that there's like, I hope there's self-compassion around this. It's not like, oh, what's wrong with me? Like, you know, she, Elizabeth Gilbert has a fun time describing her experience around it in the book. But I love that you ladies are able to sit with this and be compassionate about however you experienced it. That's great. And I would just invite you, so even if you weren't able to visualize in the guided meditation, after this call, sit with the gremlin that, or the limiting belief or the gremlin that you mentioned at the beginning of the call, and then kind of think about a garden, think about, you know, you can think about it in like a logical way if you need to, but how might Mother Nature be communicating to you about thriving through this gremlin that you have, right? So the garden is one way to explore that, but it's certainly not the only way to explore that. Cindy, did you want to share anything? No pressure.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. I didn't really, I mean, I was able to visualize. I could see myself in the garden and, you know, float and all that, but I, you know, towards the end, I was in a deep state of relaxation. So at that point, I, like, nothing really came up for me, but I was able to visualize. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Beautiful, ladies. Yeah, it's an introduction. No expectation, no right, wrong, no good, bad here whatsoever. And so your homework slash actually fun work is to bring your journal in somewhere into nature, whether it's like a park, could be your backyard, your patio, even if you have a house plant, totally cool, good enough, and sit with it and ask, you know, what information does this gremlin, this story, this meaning making, like what information might this have for me? Is the information like, oh yeah, that's no big deal, I need to just like not pay attention to it? Or is it, oh, there's a storm coming, maybe I should batten down the hatches? Or is it, you know, I'm leaving my comfort zone completely, and so perhaps I need more self-care or cultivation in my social groups or whatever. So sitting with nature, with the, okay, hear what appear to be the gremlins, hear what appear to be the challenges, what information is here, and how might I need to align, or how might I align to thriving through this information? So if the visualization doesn't do it, totally cool. You can sit with nature, sit in nature, and notice though too, because you'll start noticing like, oh, I see what nature did there. That reminds me of this thing I'm going through right now. So fascinating. So kind of to put a bow on this right now, the meaning making has helpful information to help you realign with thriving. Even if that meaning making is like, oh, I just need to let that meaning making go. It's just meaning making. Anything that feels like it's inhibiting thriving is like something to check in with, but you don't necessarily have to like obsess about it. It's just, okay, how can I utilize this to help me thrive? Bring this back. So with that, thank you, ladies, for being willing to explore and get really comfortable. And like just chill, yeah, and calm. I mean, if nothing else, that's a vacation in and of itself in this day's world. And you know, let me know how it goes. Spend as much time in nature as possible, especially in springtime, but always. Yeah. And remember that you're perfect. You're perfectly designed, and you're perfect. Ain't nothing wrong with you whatsoever. All right. Beautiful. Thanks, ladies. Yeah, ready for bed. And on that note, sweet dreams.
Everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye. Sure. Love y'all. Bye. Bye.